Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing being bound to our Lord, the Holy Trinity, with this great gift of the divine will. So we begin at volume 4, 1, 6, 1901. Because in having communicated myself to the Magi in three ways. So this God, Jesus is the Word. He wants to communicate to us. He wants to speak to us. He is speaking constantly. And his voice is so silent that we have to enter into silence to listen to him. This is why the Holy Mass ends right after we receive Holy Communion. The church does not want to interfere with God's communicating to us. God, we being one in communion with God. I know that a lot of parishes have fellowship right after communion. Everybody's talking, everybody's laughing and, you know, sharing. That's a nice thing. But our job is to enter into communion with God, where that 15 minutes until the host is dissolved is the most important time of the day, where God wants to speak to us in the silence of our hearts. This is a time for silence. It doesn't matter if everybody's talking and laughing. Let them. We in the divine will, we're nobody special. But we know that Jesus wants us to talk. He wants to talk to us. In these 15 minutes where we adore him and we love him and we praise him, we thank him, we bless him, we worship him, are essential for every soul. And what we do is in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, we enter into this, I love you, I praise you, I thank you. For all my brothers and sisters who aren't aware yet of what they're supposed to do. It's that you don't give them the evil eye, like, you know, be quiet. It's fiat, okay? Lord, you've given me this gift, and you want to communicate to me this communion with you. So what happens here? Having communicated myself to the Magi in three ways, I, Jesus, obtained for them three effects. So here, he is a child. He's a baby. And he's communicating to them. You know, everyone should have a baby Jesus that they can hold, not just a little baby. I got my little baby Jesus. No, find a baby Jesus like the Pope does, the Holy Father does on Christmas Eve. He walks with this baby in his arms and he kisses this baby. It's not you're kissing a doll. You're saying to Jesus, if I could hold you, I would kiss you. I would adore you. I would praise you. I would thank you. And Jesus says, yes, I will accept it as if you're actually kissing me. The same thing with the cross. When you venerate the cross, when you venerate his five wounds, Jesus says, I will accept it as you're actually kissing me. This is an inanimate object, but our desire is to venerate him. Our desire is to say, I love you. So here, these three show up, the Magi, and he says, I obtained for them three effects because I never communicate myself to souls uselessly. Jesus is communicating to us now with this great gift. Always, he says, you will receive some profit for themselves. We're going to receive some profit as you listen to Jesus in the silence of your hearts. That's why I love the calendar. Every day, Jesus gives a new insight, a new blessing. He communicates to us a new divine reality. And little by little, we begin to understand it. Little by little. It's like looking at a puzzle, all the pieces that are there. Jesus gives us another little piece, and he's putting it together. He's the one that's doing this. Because I never communicate my soul to souls uselessly. Rather, they always receive some profit for themselves. So as I communicate myself through love, and again, this is what the divine will is, they obtain detachment from themselves. So the first thing is detachment from yourself. We plan, we plot, even sin. And Jesus says, I want you to detach yourself from that. Through beauty, they obtain content of earthly things. What's happening? You're beginning to see from a divine perspective. You're beginning to see things that a divine reality that you've never even comprehended before. I mentioned that one girl in our prayer group who's no longer here, but she said, the only thing I can see that is beautiful is a sunset. Nothing is more beautiful than that. And I should say, entering into the kingdom, look at the divine realities that God is showing us. And she goes, I can't see that. I can see nothing more beautiful than a sunset. So what does she do? She limits God. Yes, the sunsets are beautiful. But what Jesus is saying is, I communicate through this love so that you can first detach yourself from yourself. What you want, what you're planning, what you desire. Why? Because you're saying to Jesus, I want what you want. I want what the Father wants. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be under the mantle of Mary. I want to know what you taught Louisa. I want to learn this. I want to study this. Why? Because you want this, Jesus. It's not my want anymore. I want what God wants. The second, contempt of earthly things. This is only human. I want to enter into the divine. I want to see from a divine perspective what Jesus wants. And that's why we have our dogma and our doctrine. God is trying to show us how to think from a divine perspective, from Christ's point of view. The failure we had was humani vitae. If we had learned what human life is about, we would now live in divine life. So we have to learn what human life is all about. What is this about? What does it mean to be human? Because Jesus says, once you learn this from Christ's perspective, then you can understand what it means to live from a divine life from Christ's perspective. And that's the book of heaven. I found many people who have a contraceptive mentality. This is bishops and priests and nuns. They want nothing to do with the divine will. Why? They have their plan, and it's against life. It's a contraceptive mentality. When a grandmother says to a granddaughter, I'm glad it's you and not me, that's negative. It's not, you're bringing life into the world. I hear many grandmothers do that. Glad it's you and not me. Jesus wants us to understand what life is about. He says, everything that I've created in the universe is a work of God. The only life of God is a child, a soul, a human. So God is trying to give us contempt for the earthly things and to begin to think from a divine perspective, from Christ's point of view. And then our memory. It's not to think about what they said about me, what they did against my family, what they did against my nation. No, it's what Jesus did, the new Adam, what Mary did, the new Eve. What did they teach Louisa? This abundant life. And then third, he says this. It's always threes. He says, and through contempt of earthly things and through divine power, their hearts remain bound, tied to Jesus. And they obtain the bravery. This is when you are confirmed, the bishop slaps you across the face. He should really slap us across the face because we become soldiers for Christ at that point. Why? Bravery to lay down their blood and life for me, Jesus. Are we willing to do that? Just think about Sundays, when your family, your friends, your neighbors say, hey, let's do this on Sunday. And you say, well, this is God's day. You know, I want to keep holy the Sabbath. There's no blood shedding there. But how many surrender to the request of our family and friends, rather than saying, this is the Lord's day. This is God's day. I'm not taking it from him. It's not another Saturday to do something. That doesn't mean you don't have family gatherings. It doesn't mean that you don't, you know, have dinners together. But your entertainment should be glory to God. See, Saint Francis taught us this. If you're praying and are not filled with joy, you're not praying. If you're not filled with happiness and rejoicing in God, you're not praying. I mean, this is why the church says, you know, with Gaudete Sunday, rejoice. Jesus is coming. The King is returning. Rejoice. That last 9 days is very important. The Christmas Novena. If you haven't done the Christmas Novena, ask your family, would you pray this with me? It's not difficult. Would you go over these last 9 days, this one paragraph, this one little page, would you pray this with me? And if they say no, fine. Don't worry about it. Don't get upset. How long did it take you and me to say yes to God? It's you go through the Christmas Novena. Do you see what Jesus did to these wise men? We have to become wise men to hear what Jesus wants us to hear. Bound to Jesus. Bravery to lay down our life, our blood, and our life for Jesus. We're at battle. We're at war. It's the war over our soul and your family's soul, your neighbor's soul, your coworker's soul, your parishioner's souls. God is going to win, and he needs us to cooperate. He needs us to say yes. He needs us to say fiat. And he's giving us the way and the how we can work with God in this infinite ocean of love. He's going to do it. Volume 4, 330, 1901. My daughter, have patience. Resign yourself to my divine will in everything. That's fiat. Instead of like a lot of people, you know, going to confession say they use the F word, the four letter word. And I'm sorry, they say. Well, use the four letter word fiat. Replace it. Instead of it's yes, fiat, Lord. What happens at that point is everything becomes joyful. Why? You're doing it for the glory of God. Whether you're stuck in traffic or things go wrong or Aunt Lucy's vase shatters to the ground. Fiat. Lord, you're in charge. You're testing me. We've had this vase in our family for 5 centuries and you break it. Fiat. God is going to take care of it. I had one friend of mine. I asked him to help me with my computer. And for the first 10 years from 1986, basically, you know, when we started really teaching to 1996, 10 years of all the talks that I did and all the notes that I took and all the, you know, focusing on Louisa, what is this about? And he says, I can fix your computer. I said, great. I said, save everything. All the pictures with me with the Pope, everything. He eliminated everything. And I went, I asked you to save everything, the pictures, everything. And he says, well, say fiat. I went, say fiat. And it was like God is just saying, none of this matters. What matters is your heart, your mind, your soul, your yes to God. None of the pictures matter. None of the works that you did matter. It's nothing. What's coming is what matters. Where you are, what matters. If you are peaceful, Jesus is there, he says. If you're not peaceful, he says, I can't be there. So he's going to test us. So Jesus says this, my daughter, have patience, resign yourself to my divine will in everything. That means fiat in everything. for not so short a time, but always, always, always fiat. Because only perseverance in good is that which reveals whether the soul is truly virtuous. It alone is what unites all virtues together. This peace, this fiat of God. Time is short. How do we know it's short? Our Lady said that to Bruno. Time has now come to an end. We have to understand, a new era is right around the corner. A new beginning is very, very close. And Jesus is asking us to begin to live this new era so others can enter into it. When they see our peace, our joy, our happiness in difficult moments, they look at us and they go, don't you understand what's happening? And it's like, yes, I trust Jesus. Yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I have hope in Jesus. See, this is why always, always, always be patient with the fiat. Resign yourself with the fiat to live in the divine will in, at every moment. It can be said that perseverance alone unites perpetually God and the soul. Another way to put it, fiat in everything unites the soul to God. Yes, to God. Virtues and graces and places itself around them like chains binding everything together, and it forms the most safe knot of salvation where there is no perseverance, where there is a lot to fear. If you can't say fiat now, when times get difficult, and times are going to get difficult because scripture tells us that. And again, it's nothing to fear. We were born at this time to go through this. Jesus planned that we would be born at this time to go through this. Jesus predestined us to be born at this time to go through this. He's going to provide. It's not like, oh, doom and gloom. No, fiat. Lord, I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. What did Our Lady say? The few faithful will save the many. This is what God has planned. And he's asking us, are you willing to go through this time to bring about the kingdom? He says, let them plan their wars. Let them plan the destruction of the church. Let them do what they want. He says, you and I, Louisa, and the little children of the Holy Divine Will are planning for the kingdom to come on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. So we live in this peace, this joy, this happiness. There's no fear. There's no worry. It's when we see something that looks pretty darn savage, we say to the Lord, well, I want to see what you're going to do now because I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I trust that you're going to make this darkness into light. And God goes, good. Watch me. See, it's faith in Jesus. When that woman touched the tassel on the hem of his garment and said, basically, you're the Messiah. I trust in you. You can heal me. That's what it says in Leviticus. By the hem of the garment of the Messiah, you will be healed. And Jesus turned around and said, who did this? Who believes in me as Lord and Messiah and King? And when the woman confessed, he waited for her to confess. He had to hear it from her. I mean, she must have been terrified. All of a sudden she's healed and Jesus is saying, who did this? Who? I mean, he's excited. Who believes in me as the King, the Lord, the Messiah? And she confesses and God goes, it's your faith that has healed you. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus, believing in Jesus, hoping in Jesus, confident in Jesus. Nothing to worry about. This binds me so much and has so much divine power over my sacred heart that as recompense, I, God, give to the soul all of myself. And I, God, concede to her the greatest graces and anything that she wants. And if I, God, did not do so, having made the donation to myself, I feel that for as many times as I do not give to the soul, So many thefts do I make from her. And this, that is, so many debts do I contract with her. God is going to do this. Ask, believe that you received it and it is yours. You don't have to see it. It might happen 10 years down the road. It might happen 20 years down the road. But God is going to do it. Think of all your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, your relatives and friends 100 years ago who never knew you. They were praying for you and their prayers are answered. Same thing with you. You don't have to snap your fingers and say, I want this right now. You say to Jesus, I know you're God. I know you're Savior. I know you're my Lord. You're my Master. You're my King. And I'm confident that when I give this prayer to you, that it becomes your command. And I walk away with confidence. I don't have to see it because I know you're going to do it. And it might not be for your children, but it might be for your children's children's children. That prayer is going to be answered. God is going to take care of everything. He's our Savior. He's our God. He's our King. So many debts do I contract with this soul. A signature of God is on it. I make a contract with you, and it's going to be answered. Wait till you enter into this gift of the divine will. There's no worry. There's no worry. And when something is like impossible that comes at you, that's when you smile. And you know, this is impossible. God, I trust in you. I have total confidence in you. I can't wait to see what you're going to do. Because you're my Lord, you're my Savior, you're my Master, you're my King, you're my all. I trust you. And God goes, good, watch what I'm going to do. And you go, I trust you. I know you're going to do this. When Our Lady said, fiat mihi, God did 100% of the work. All Our Lady said was, yes, let it be done to me as you wish, as you say, as you want. Volume 4, 9, 10, 1902. The prerogatives of love are three. Again, three. Constant love without end. Strong love and love of God and neighbor, all bound together. This is what the divine will is. Entering into the three loves. Constant love. Never stopping. It's your heartbeat. It's an I love you every moment of the day. It's the breath. It's I love you. He's breathing into you this I love you every single moment of the day. Strong love. It will never end. Your heart might stop. Your breathing might stop. But the love is magnified after that. And love of God and of your neighbor all bound together. To enter into the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. If these prerogatives do not appear in the soul, one can say that hers is not the quality of true love. What is true love? Write this down, put it on your mirror in your bathroom. Constant love, constant strong, love of God and neighbor bound together. That's what God has given to you. As you begin to live this, you're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Volume 4, 11, 16, 1902. Obedience releases the chains. Since it is in chains, it binds the divine volition with the human and makes them one in such a way that the soul does not act with power of her human will any longer, which is doesn't matter at all because here's your human will. What you pray, you know, January 1st, these are my New Year's resolutions. Human will is miserable. He says, but with the power of God's most holy divine will, obedience to whom? To Jesus and his church. Obedience releases and chains, ties, binds the divine will with the human being. We use our free will to choose to live in the divine will, no longer to live in our human misery. We use our free will to choose this and makes them one in such a way that the soul does not act with the power of a human will, but with the divine power of the most holy divine will And Jesus says, besides, it is not you who shall obey, but I shall obey in you. Do you see the difference? Do you see Jesus is doing this? Jesus is saying, let me reign in you and I will do the work. I will obey in you. See, it's the fiat. It's the surrender to God. It's to say to the Lord, you have to live in me. Not only, having a personal relationship with you, but an intimate relationship where you breathe in my breathing and beat in my heart beating and think in my thinking and gaze in my gazing and dance in my dancing and sing in my singing. I want you, Lord, to be my Lord, my Savior, my Master, never to be separated ever, ever, ever again. See, this is what's coming. Volume 4, 318, 1903. My daughter, you have chosen the opium because one who remains always in my divine will binds me in such a way as to make a continuous virtue come out of me that keeps the soul in a continuous attitude toward me. So much so that she forms my food and I form her food. You enter into this, he says it's like opium. It's like nothing can bother you. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing. There's no more pain. There's no more misery when you're with Jesus. You've entered into this life of nothing physically can hurt you. Spiritually can hurt you. It's a divine opium, if you want to say. It doesn't mean you're on drugs. He's just saying that the pain that you have suffered to this point will be gone. It's like opium. It's gone. The worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity of human misery is gone. And he says to Louisa, it's like an opium. It's not saying that you're going to be on drugs. Jesus is saying, no, it's Louisa is writing down a divine perspective with human words. And like feeding, like I open my mouth wide like a little bird and Jesus feeds us with his mouth. It's not Jesus feeding us with his mouth. She's saying, this is the image I got. It's like Jesus doing this like a mother bird to the baby bird. God is feeding us. What is he feeding us with? The first bread, the bread of the divine will. Volume 5, 10, 12, 1903. Moreover, these thorns signify that I am, this crown of thorns, I am true and only king. And only the one who constitutes me king of her heart enjoys peace and happiness. And I, God, constitute that soul queen of my own kingdom. Do you see what God is doing? Mary is the mother of heaven and earth, the queen of heaven and earth. We enter into her likeness as well. That's why it's a small q, queen of my own kingdom. It becomes ours. Jesus says, I'm going to go away and produce a home for you, a palace for you. I am building this for you. It's your kingdom. It's God's kingdom. But as true sons and daughters of God, we are going to be reclothed in divinity, royal garments of divinity, as God originally planned. It's our kingdom that's coming. It's God's kingdom that's coming. And he wants us to be true children of God. So what has he done? He's waited to the last moment to what? Give us the book of heaven. As we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, we enter into as kings and queens of the kingdom of God. True sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And so all those rivulets of blood that poured out from my head were as many little streams that bound the human intelligence to the knowledge of my sovereignty over them. We're going to be thinking from a divine perspective. We're going to be seeing things from a divine perspective, not a human perspective any longer. It's the saints have taught us how to do this. From a human perspective, doing the will of God, What Jesus is now showing us is how to live this in a divine manner. That's what the Book of Heaven is all about. That's why when you read the calendar every day, it's like sometimes there's every phrase, every word that he says is filled with divine light. And as God, as he speaks this to us, when we read it again, there's more beauty. As we read it again, there is more intimacy with God. Volume 6, but do you know which gold I want now from souls? Not material gold, no, but spiritual gold. That is the gold of their human will. Jesus says, the human will is where I, God, want to reign. I don't want you reigning in your human will any longer. The gold of their affection, the gold of their desires, the gold of their taste, the gold of the whole interior of man. And this is all the gold that the soul has, and I, God, want it. All for myself. So what is he saying? The gold of your human will, the gold of your affections, the gold of your desires, the gold of your tastes, the gold of the interior of man. Like I said, we have plans. Jesus says, I want to be your plans. I want to take care of your plans. I'm going to do it as God, as Lord, as Master. I know exactly what you need. Let me do this, Jesus says, and this is the gold that I'm looking for. All the gold, all is gold, excuse me, this is all the gold that the soul has, and I, God, want it all for myself. Now, it is almost difficult for the soul to give this to me without sacrificing and mortifying yourself. Here is how myrrh, like electric wire, binds the interior of man, renders it more resplendent, and gives it the tint of multiple colors, giving all kinds of beauties to the soul. So Jesus is saying the sacrifice and the mortification is what he gave to the saints. And now he says, in the divine will, I want you to do this. And he says, it is myrrh, like wire, electrical wire that binds the interior of man and renders it more resplendent, gives it the tint of multiple colors, giving all kinds of beauties to the soul. Wait till you see what God has planned. He says, I'm going to make each human being in the divine will, each child of the divine will, a divine masterpiece. Volume 6, 4:10, 1904. My daughter, why do you occupy yourself with useless thoughts, with things that are not? This is the murmuring in our brain. I should have said this. I wish I had done that. God goes, why are you doing this? So what he's asking us to do is to be still, to be quiet. You know that the three titles before me are like three little ropes, bind me all over and clasp me more intimately with you in such a way that I cannot leave you. And these are assiduous suffering. Write this down and put it on your mirror in your bathroom. Assiduous suffering, perpetual reparation, and persevering love. That's the life of Louisa. That's the life of Jesus. That's the life of Mary. That's what they gave to Louisa, their own life. Assiduous sufferings, perpetual reparation, persevering love. This is what God is asking. Are you willing to live this life? And when we say, yes, Lord, he goes, watch what I'm going to do. Volume 6, 8, 12, 1904. As I continue to struggle, all of a sudden I found all of myself inside our Lord, and from his head, a shining thread descended into mine that bound me completely inside of Jesus. Now, she's talking from a divine perspective. She's using human terms. Oh, how happy I was to be inside of Jesus. And as much as I looked, I could see nothing but Jesus alone. And my highest happiness, only Jesus, he alone, and nothing else. How well one feels. I mean, this is the healing, divine healing that Jesus wants to give to us. Meanwhile, he told me, courage, daughter, don't you see how the thread of my divine will binds you completely inside of me? And so if any other will wants to bind you, if it is not holy, it cannot, because since you are inside of me, if it is not holy, it cannot enter into me. So Jesus is freeing us of all that is of the world, the flesh and the devil. He's freeing us so that we can be one with God, image and likeness. Jesus says, I want to be your skin. I want to reign in you. I want you to reign in me. I want to gaze in your gazing, to speak in your speaking, to listen in your listening. I want you to beat in your heart. I want to beat in your heart beating. I want to breathe in your breathing. We breathe in that divine, I love you, that ruah of God, that breath of God that God breathed into Adam. Image and likeness. 5:6, 8:28, 1905. This morning on coming, my adorable Jesus made me see his most lovable heart, sacred heart. Something like many shining threads of gold, of silver, red colors were coming out from within it, and it seemed that they were forming a net, thread after thread, bound all human hearts. I remain enchanted at seeing this, and Jesus said to me, my daughter, with these threads, my sacred heart binds itself to all the affections, all the desires, all the heartbeats, all the love, and even the very life of the human hearts that are similar to my human heart in everything, except mine is different in divine sanctity. And having bound them, it is my desire to move from heaven. The threads of desires excites their human desires. If their affections move, the thread of affection moves in their human affections. If I love, the thread exists of their love, and the thread of my life gives them divine life. Oh, what harmony between heaven and earth, between my sacred heart and the human hearts of mankind. Everything is going to be repaired. We're going to love the way God originally planned humans to love. And that's divinely. It's human love is fickle. Jesus is saying, I want you to enter into divine love. That's why he gave us the book of heaven. He's teaching us how and why this is going to happen. And the more we read, the more we study, the more we put this into practice, the more we begin to understand this is what God wanted with Adam. And when Adam sinned, we are in a fallen nature. Jesus redeemed us, Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ, but we're still in the fallen nature. We go to confession each week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I'm going to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. God goes, good, prove it. So what does he do? He says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you the gift of gifts. I'm going to give you the prodigy of prodigies. Why? The time is now that our God wants us to begin to live this abundant life. Oh, what harmony between heaven and earth, between my most sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary and human hearts. We begin to live this abundant life. Volume 7, 12:3, 1906. I love this sweetness and peace so much that even if it were about something great concerning my divine honor, my divine glory, I do not want it. I never approve resentful, violent, fiery manners, but rather sweet and peaceful manners. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He says, I love this sweetness, this peace of living in the divine will. He says, for my honor and for my glory, I don't want resentful, violent, fiery. I want sweet and peaceful manners like Jesus. In fact, sweetness alone is that which binds the hearts like a chain in such a way that they cannot unbind themselves. We'll never be separated from Jesus. It is like pitch that sticks to them and they cannot free themselves and are forced to say, in this soul, hopefully that's us, there is the finger of God, for we cannot act otherwise. See, image and likeness of Jesus, the new Adam, of Mary, the new Eve. That's what they gave to Louisa. Volume 7, 1:30, 1906. On the other hand, for a constant soul, everything is peace. Constant soul. everything is peace. Mere constancy itself already keeps everything in its place. Passions already feel they are dying. And who is the one nearing death that thinks about waging war against anyone? Nobody. Constancy is the sword that puts to flight everything to flight. It is the chain that binds all virtues in such a way as to feel caressed by them continuously. And the fire of purgatory, I love this part, shall have no work to do in that soul, because that soul is entered into the holy humanity of Jesus. Likeness of the holy humanity of Jesus. Likeness of the holy humanity of Mary. They can't be purged, these souls, who represent the image and likeness of the triune God. Image and likeness of the new Adam and of the new Eve. There's no purgatory. There's no fire of purgatory to purge them, because it's Jesus that's reigning. It's Mary that's reigning. The new Adam and the new Eve. This is what they gave to Louisa. And Jesus is saying, I can give this to you if you wish. Because constancy has ordered everything and has made the ways of the soul similar to those of God. Volume 8, 8-10-1908. My daughter, nothing has diminished the goods that exist between me and you, because the whole of good is in the origin of its foundation. So he's telling us the whole of good is to go back to the beginning, to go back to where Adam was before the fall. When two persons unite themselves with a bond of friendship or with a bond of marriage, they have exchanged the gifts besides. They have loved each other so much as to become inseparable, to the extent that one has taken and copied the other so much as to feel of being the being of the beloved within herself. If out of bare necessity, they are forced to be far away from each other, though are those gifts perhaps diminished, or does their love decrease? Not at all. So Jesus is saying, this intimacy with God is going to be magnified. That's why he calls heaven the wedding feast. Volume 8, 10, 16, 08. I keep you more than ever clasped in my arms. Listen to this. Even more, I, God, tell you that if to Paul I gave my efficacious graces at the beginning of his conversion, to you and now to us, I give it almost continuously. And this is the sign of it, that you continue in your interior everything that you used to do when I was with you almost continuously. Okay, this is for us now. Doing what you now seem to do by yourself, you're feeling all immersed in Jesus and all bound to Jesus, always thinking of Jesus. Even though you do not see me, Jesus says, this is not your own thing, nor an ordinary grace, but a special and efficacious grace. And if I give you much, and this is what God has done, it is a sign that I love you much. And I, God, want to be loved much by you. That's what God's waiting for, to love him as he loves us. Image and likeness. To love us like Mary loves us. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is that we become like her and her son. That's the triumph. And that's what Jesus shows us here. And we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.